This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan. Simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are on the free Odyssey app. Good Thursday morning. It is miserable outside. It is miserable all around. If you are a Knicks fan, no, this isn't the end of the world. This isn't the worst thing to happen to the franchise. This isn't the knockout blow for an amazing season so far. But boy, did that suck last night. There's no other way to put it. It was actually worse statistically as far as a blown loss went than the two games that they came back in Boston. That's how unlikely and crazy this was. Neesmith going off and hitting those six threes in the fourth quarter. Sloppy turnovers. The Halliburton bounce. The Reggie Miller choke sign. I mean, the overtime being what it was. I mean, I still this morning as I'm sitting here cannot believe how that thing fell apart, how quickly it did, and that the Knicks are actually down in this series. Now, I still have faith in them. I really do watching the majority of that game. I feel like I'm a Celtics fan watching them play the Knicks, actually. I know we're the better team. I know the Knicks are the better team. But last night was alarming. It was crazy. And I just hope it's part of the championship video or the Eastern Conference Finals video saying that was the worst point of the season. And then they took off from here. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I mean, I'm like you. I'm disappointed for sure in the way that the regular time ended. The fourth quarter ended was just an absolute disaster. And it really did bring me back to the 90s, I'm telling you. And I was telling you yesterday, man, I told you this ain't going to be easy. And then I was thinking as they're up, I think it was 12, and I'm saying to myself, maybe G's right. Maybe they're going to be able to, you know, win this one going away and everything's going to be good. And then as I was thinking that to myself, all of a sudden the ugliness happened and the turnovers, and it was a very entertaining game. And when you really think about it from just sitting back and watching a game, it's everything everybody said about the Pacers, that it was going to be frenetic. And could the Knicks match their pace? Could the Knicks keep up with them? They're going to throw nine guys at you. And, you know, damn well, the Knicks stayed right with them offensively. I mean, everybody in this series has got to figure out how to play better defense.
Yeah, I mean, and that is without a doubt, especially towards the end of the game in overtime. And, you know, I'm fine with the Knicks playing that pace because they're really good at it. And they, you know, prior to Neesmith going off, because that's really what this was. I mean, that was his epic performance from three and not being able to miss, by the way, in a Pacers uniform in front of Reggie Miller is unbelievable. And yes, I know the choke sign comes out with Halliburton, but really the guy who should have been doing it was Neesmith, because without him, this does not happen. But, you know, prior to that, everybody's doing exactly what you want. Mitchell Robinson's getting his offensive rebounds. Karl Anthony Towns is aggressive. He's hitting threes. You know, Jalen Brunson is putting together a game. When he's out because of foul trouble, OG Anunoby takes over, like when Jalen Brunson was out with the ankle injury. Mikal Bridges played a full four quarters of offense. These guys were great. Josh Hart was doing his thing. Everything was great.
It was great, man.
Everything was perfect.
So the last two
2 minutes. Really.
I mean, insanity. I mean, and for Neesmith, I mean, he was unconscious. And Josh Hart said it, and you could tell watching it, is that they didn't have the same intensity on defense towards the end of the game because they thought that they had it wrapped up, essentially.
And I'm with you. I'm not like... I'm really disappointed. It was hard to fall asleep last night thinking about all of this and what happened and how it happened, but these things do happen. I am a little bit ticked off that Halliburton did what he did, and maybe that's okay for him and his team, and I don't think Rick Carlisle really appreciated it. But I will say that was some shot by Halliburton to tie the game. It was amazing.
It was lucky. Come on. It was lucky.
But the fact to have, he went back to go make a three to win the game.
Yeah.
And his foot was on the line. And I clearly saw that his foot was on the line.
Yeah, I mean, I looked right to the score bug because I'm like, that's a two. I mean, they better not give him a three. That's a two. And I knew that they were going to look at it anyway. But I made sure that...
That's an amazing play by him. But the fact... No, he's running around with the choke sign and all this other crap. I mean,
listen, hold on. A couple of things. One, if that had gone in, he is 100% allowed to do that from three. Meaning, if that was a three-pointer, he's allowed to do that. And I give him credit because right after the game, when he was interviewed on the court, he said, "Man, I tried to do the celebration. I thought we had won. I thought it was a three. It didn't work out. Thank God we won in overtime." So he had self-awareness of the fact that it was premature.
Still, the Knicks ended up choking away the lead in the fourth quarter, and it's the back pages of the papers and everything today, and everybody, that's all anybody's going to be talking about. And I would take that picture of him doing this, and I would hang it in my locker room. Because, there's your villain. I think we all knew that coming into it. That's why his jersey's in the freezer. Now I'm going to have to put more ice on top of it.
Yeah.
But
You know what's crazy?
It's so frustrating because I'll tell you what's really crazy about all of this. If you told me that Carl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson were going to have the offensive output games that they had.
And they lost the game.
And they lost the game. I'd be like, you got to be kidding me. Now, the other thing, too, the Knicks had 40 free throw attempts.
Mm-hmm.
40.
And they missed a bunch of them, too.
Yeah, they did 40 free throw attempts.
12 of them. They made 28 out of 40 or something. Yeah.
And then you had the Pacers had 100 field goal attempts.
Yeah, I mean, it was wild pace early on and, of course, in the end as well. But you talked about the Halliburton's jersey in the freezer. The time that the ball was up in the air after it hit the rim, that's what was in my head.
Yeah.
I was like, the jersey's in the freezer. And I'm watching it go up. And then, bang, it goes in. I'm like, son of a gun.
Well, it's a long series, man. That's all I can
tell
you.
And that's really, like, that is the takeaway here. Like, and I know that it's just very hard to see that. And if you're driving into work today and you're in this nor'easter and it's cold rain and you're like, this is not supposed to be Memorial Day weekend and the Knicks lost and what the hell happened. Yeah, I mean, all of that is true. But I was really encouraged with the way that they played. They, for whatever reason, have to figure out when the other team is more desperate, they got to match that desperation because they weren't able to do that against the Celtics. They weren't able to do that last night. I still think they're going to win Friday night. I still think they're the better team. I still think they're going to win the series, but now it's going to be harder. And by the way, like, these things, you don't just coast through these series unless you're, the Chicago Bulls back in the day or the Golden State Warriors when they lost one game. Some of these dynasties, they coast right through the playoffs. This Knicks team's not going to coast right through the playoffs. We've seen 2 6-game series. You might get a 7-1 here. You're going to lose some games, all right?
There's going to be a 7-game series. I'm telling you, it's going to be brutal. And this is a brutal Thursday morning. You wake up, you're miserable, and rightfully so, because the team actually, offensively anyway, I mean, they match them. Speed for speed, hustle for hustle, a couple more turnovers than you would like, a couple more missed free throws than you would like. But at the end of the day, Indiana goes on a 20-6 run to close out the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, so part of that is the Knicks being lackadaisical in the closing minutes and also doing some of the things that the Celtics were doing when they were blowing their lead, where they weren't slowing down the offense. They were hucking up threes because they were early in the shot clock because they were feeling it and they were bouncing off the rim and giving them an opportunity. But, I mean, you have to also...
And I'll tell you, you have that overturned call on Pascal Siakam.
Yeah.
That, to me, I mean, he is like... all over Ananobi. Mm-hmm. There's a foul called.
Yep.
How do they overturn that?
Yeah, I'm sick of the overturn stuff. I mean, obviously, it really hurt the Knicks last night in a couple of calls. Reggie Miller even said, thank God we didn't have this when I was playing. Because, it would have been the Knicks ball. You know, but they go back, goes off of Jalen Brunson's hand. The Knicks challenged a call early on in the game, didn't have another challenge. Rick Carlisle did, kept using them, kept winning them. You know, and it's just, it's.
I just don't understand. Like, I see a still picture of Siakam. He's got OG's jersey. He's bumping into him.
Well, they're saying loose ball, the whole thing. He wasn't
loose ball. That I mean, that was a monumentous moment.
Yeah,
a monumentous. Yeah,
monumental.
Momentous game. Anyway, it was a big moment. Either way you say it, in this game, and it was the part of the game where you're sitting there going, I cannot believe that just happened. You know, I hate these replays in basketball.
I know. And you know what's so as you're watching the game and the pace is breakneck, you're going back and forth.
Which is awesome.
It was great. And then just once again, the fourth quarter, everything comes to a grinding halt because of these reviews. I mean, the fans are booing the review with the Anunoby Siakam thing we were just talking about is taking absolutely forever. Yeah, I mean, stunned. I can't, like, all the exact opposite of what it was. Leaving there last Friday night was what you got last night. I'm sure that they were just, everybody was quiet. Everybody was walking out of there, heads down, just completely shocked. But I don't know what it is about this. I think it's just because they played so well and they kept up with them. And I think that the Knicks have the more talent, the better players, and they're going to get it done. But I'm still encouraged about their chances about going to the finals. I just am. This sucked. This was bad. But, you know, the Knicks came back from a couple 20-point deficits, and obviously we know how that series went and ended up going the Knicks' way, but I just sometimes you got to eat crap when you're going to win, to win a title, and last night they had to do it.
The thing for me, honestly, was the fact that the game was wide open. This was not like tackle basketball the way that they were playing against the Pistons. You know,
I think it suits them better.
I think so, too. I think it's wide open, and I think Tibbs is letting them play, and, you know, I was thinking of Paul Westhead. Wasn't he the coach that used to say, get the ball, get down there and shoot it as quickly as possible?
Well, Mike D'Antoni was seconds or less, right?
But I thought it was Westhead before him.
Yeah, it was with the Suns.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that's how I felt last night. I felt like it was a little bit of wide open basketball where you saw all the great athletes.
Yeah.
You know, show their stuff, and everybody had a little piece in this game. Even the bench had a little piece in this game. Now, the Indiana bench outscored the Knick bench.
And it will every game. Yes. It's going to every single game.
Because they're
going to
get more minutes, and they're going to get more shots, and they're better players.
Yeah. I mean, we know one of the things that people say about the Pacers, it's true, is they are a deeper team. They play more guys, and the bench scoring is going to be in favor of them. But, you know, one thing about just strategically that I think would drive you crazy, too, and we haven't mentioned it yet, is the inbound stuff.
Oh,
I mean,
God,
they could be the worst team in left. It could be the worst team out of every team that played this year at inbounding the basketball in critical moments. And by the way, how about defensively on the Obi Toppin dunk? I don't know what they're thinking, but they're just they don't have anybody on the inbounding player.
That is a complete. It's either a miscommunication or it's something that they were trying to do that I don't know. It just.
I mean, look at this.
Yes. That's. There's no rotation underneath.
I mean, and Mitchell Robinson, who's been amazing defensively, just had a brain fart there or something. I mean, I'm just really, really bad. And just some of these, you know, these inbound things. You had the Jalen Brunson trying to throw the ball off the Pacers, and then it ended up in OG Anunoby's hands. You had the Josh Hart. Everybody was slipping towards the end of the game, too. Brunson slipped a couple times. Josh Hart. You had that one, obviously, the one where it went off of Brunson's hand. I mean, they had so much trouble.
Hence why Halliburton was doing the choke sign.
But yeah,
because it's plays like that make you feel like the other team is, you know, tightening up, as they say, in crunch time. But
There's no doubt about it that's a part of it. But, I mean, the Nesmith threes, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't happen. A guy like that hitting 6 three-pointers in the fourth quarter in that amount of time. He was unconscious.
He was. And, you know, again, you talk about turnovers. You talk about lack of awareness in terms of your shot clock. There's so many things that go into it. And if a guy gets hot like that and they keep feeding him and he keeps hitting it, you know, exactly what this was like. Walt Frazier used to do this all the time. It just wasn't, you know, three-point shots.
Yeah.
He would have to go manufacture three-point shots, as older Knick fans remember. But I wake up this morning, I'm disappointed. I'm really frustrated with the way that regulation ended, but I'm also encouraged by the way that the Knicks reacted and how open the game was. I prefer a little bit better defense, but man, if they're going to be that open and they're going to be that athletic and they're going to be running up and down the court like this, and Jalen Brunson is going to be going to the hole the way he was because he didn't have a great three-point shooting night.
No, he didn't. And, you know, the biggest run that they went on was when he was on the bench, which is another thing that I think is an encouraging sign because, like, OG Anunoby got that same pep in his step when Brunson was on the bench that when he was when Brunson was hurt and OG was the best offensive player on the team for them for a couple of weeks.
Well, and finally, Campaign hit a couple shots.
Yeah, he did. And
took two quick fouls.
And Deuce was great again.
Foul, and then all of a sudden he hit two threes and looked like he got himself back in the game.
I mean, everybody was great until the end of the game when the Pacers were better. So, yeah, I mean, this you're going to win games you're not supposed to. You're going to lose games you're not supposed to. These are seven-game series. This was a rough one, but I'm still taking the Knicks 10 times out of 10 from what I saw a majority of that game last night. I'm with you. I'm encouraged with the way that they played. It felt easier for them to score than it had in the first two series by a lot.
Especially down low.
I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns
was a monster last night.
I mean, I agree. I mean, I'm ready already for Friday night for them to stomp them because I think that's what's going to happen. But this is also a little bit of a tip your cap spot to the Pacers. It really is. This wasn't just the Knicks choking this thing away. I mean, the Pacers had to do a lot of stuff to make a lot of really crazy stuff to make that comeback happen.
I'm telling you, I'm taking that sign where he's got Halliburton's got his hands around his neck, and I'm hanging it in my locker room. I don't know how I hear you, man.
I know.
I'm putting that right up, and I'm like, man, this guy. This is how we used to feel about Reggie Miller.
And by the way, people tend to forget because that's just that image that is the lasting image. But the Knicks won that series.
Yes.
Reggie Miller did the choking. So here we go again. Maybe history repeating itself. That would be great. Hey, Al, did any of my reads come out of the garbage? Because I saw you digging through the garbage over there to get the reads out. I thought.
That did not come out of garbage. I was missing something, and I thought maybe I threw it out, but it turns out it is missing on purpose.
Isn't that the worst when you go through the garbage to try to find something to see if you threw it out, and then you didn't?
Yes. Now, the good news is I put it in the recycling.
Oh, okay.
But there are people that still will, like,
throw an apple in there.
Or, like, hock a loogie in there.
I'm Boomer Esiason.
I was hoping that wasn't the case, and it had been emptied, so I did get lucky there.
See, I get very distracted because you know me. I'm aware of everything, and I'm what's going on, and surveying things. And right out of my left eye, we're sitting here, we're talking about the Knicks, and Al's digging through the garbage pail. And then with reads in his hand, I'm like, what happened here? And I figured I'd get a read with some schmutz on it, but yeah, luckily we don't got no schmutz.
Okay, good.
We're good. We're off to a good start here, all right?
Well, we're off to a good start, just like the Knicks were off to a good start. Yeah. Let's hope we finish strong.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So much from last night we got to get to with Jerry, the lowlights, the post-game sound, a stunned disbelief in the crowd that was leaving the Garden last night as they blow a massive lead. One of the worst ever, actually. And it was even worse, not so much from a point standpoint, but how many points were scored by the Pacers to come back in that amount of time, that short amount of time, was worse than what the Celtics had blown to the Knicks in games 1 and 2 in the previous round. So Jerry is here with all of it. What's going on, Jerry?
All right, well, we will get to the sound. As I put, I know obviously a lot of conversation about Tyrese Halliburton and the jumper that tied it and then what they did in overtime to win it. But to get there, this Aaron Nesmith put on a show.
Nesmith, 3, good, another one from outside. And now it is a 6-point game again. Nesmith again, 3, got it! He's a flamethrower! Nesmith, it's a 3, whoa. It's a 2-point game!
Oh my
goodness.
It's
a 2-point game with 22 seconds to go!
And that was Kevin Harlan, a little Reggie Miller there on TNT. You hear it's a 2-point game. There were free throws there. By the way, free throws missed by both sides, too. You had Towns missed one, Anunoby missed one, but then Anunoby made one, led to this.
2-point game. Indiana with it. Halliburton. He'll take it. He'll backpedal a 3 for the win. And goal! He got it!
Well, it was a 2. Foot on the line. Went to overtime. And the Pacers wound up winning 138-135. Kevin Harlan with the call. Again on TNT. As Indiana takes game 1 in a game, kind of much like the Knicks in the first 2 games in Boston, a big comeback and a surprising win. Here was Nesmith. What a win for us.
It's always special. It's always fun. You know, this is what we live for. This is what we, you know, work every day for, work so hard for, is to perform and to show up in these moments. And, you know, we just continue to do it time and time again.
They were down 14 with 2:51 left, down 9 with under, I think it was 58.8 seconds to go. And they were able to get the win. Here was Halliburton on TNT. We never quit.
We played a lot of games where it felt like the other team had control. It ain't over till it's over, till it hits 0. That's a hell of a win, you know, but I really do think there's a lot for us to improve on. You know, we got, I don't know what the final rebound number was. Felt like they dominated us there. That's an area where we wanted to be great. We weren't good today, but we just figured out a way to win, man. I'm just so proud of this group.
Now, in the loss, Jalen Brunson had 43 points, made a lot of big shots. Just what just happened?
Can't really summarize it. Give them a lot of credit. They closed the game out like they've been doing in all playoffs. Just not really good on our part.
Now, as you can imagine, Knicks, Pacers, Reggie Miller in the building, crazy finishes, what we saw last night. One guy that didn't want to hear about any of that was Karl-Anthony Towns.
It's our job to make history. So we're not here to repeat history. We're here to make history. So that doesn't pop into my mind. You know, I only think about the present and what we could do right now so we can make our own history.
35-12.
Good for Karl-Anthony Towns for saying that. But Gio enlightened everybody once again this morning to remind that when Reggie Miller did that choke sign, they ended up losing
the series. Yeah.
So, hey, maybe we're on that path. I don't know, man, but that would piss me off. But and hopefully the Knicks are, and it sounds like Karl Anthony Towns was, and I liked the way he played last night. I liked the way, you know, Jalen didn't shoot great from the three-point line, but he still had over 40 points.
Yeah, I mean, and he sat more in this game than he did against Boston the entire series, it felt like.
Well, campaign hit a couple shots.
So. Yeah, and then OG took over, too, offensively when he was on the bench. So, I mean, I just, once again, you'll take a look at the box score this morning. If you didn't see the end of the game and you see the offensive output of Towns and Brunson, you're thinking that they won going away. But didn't happen.
And you mentioned OG, the ball that goes through his hands. A killer. And then the foul that was called and taken back. Killer. Here was a Tom Thibodeau message to the team.
Same thing. You know, like, there's a lot of emotional highs and lows in the playoffs. You got to bounce back quickly. You look at the film, make your corrections, get ready for game two. And that's, you know, when you go into the playoffs, you lay out the plan of how you're going to approach the playoffs.
Now,
by the way, this is the experience part of playing in the playoffs. And a lot of these players on both sides have played in the playoffs. They've had a lot of experience. They've had the ups and they have had the downs. And you would think that both teams would, you know, handle those things accordingly, so they're not too overly affected by that loss last night from the Knicks' perspective.
As for the choke sign at the end of the fourth quarter, not when the game was done, Tyrese Haliburton realizing a little premature.
If I would have known it was a two, I would not have done it. So I think I might have wasted it. If I do it again, then I might be, people might say I'm like aura farming, so I'm not, I don't plan on using it again.
Aura farming? What does that mean? I heard that. I don't know what that means.
My guess would be, like, you know, people say engagement farming on social media. Aura farming would be, I guess, trying too hard to create a moment by doing things like this.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Game two, tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden. Tonight you got game two for the Thunder and the T-Wolves. OKC up one game to none in that series. I know the day will be dominated by the basketball, but there was baseball that was played last night. Amazing they got these games in. Yankees, Rangers at the stadium. The Yankees trailed 3-1 in the seventh. Cody Bellinger, a solo home run to make it 3-2. Then Aaron Judge in the eighth inning with two out takes a 2-2 pitch for, I mean, very close to, and his history. I'm surprised it wasn't called strike three. It was a ball. They called it ball three, and then on the next pitch, tied it with an RBI single, and then in the ninth inning.
Pitch, spring ball, high fly ball, deep right field. This game is over. Into the second deck, Jason Dominguez, and the Yankees walk him off. Yankees win this game 4-3. Take the first two games of this series.
I'll tell you one thing.
Hey,
Dominguez hits a ball like that, man.
It's fun to watch.
It is fun to watch.
Young and off the barrel.
Young and off the barrel.
That's what you're looking for, man. That's what you're looking for, okay? Young and off the barrel.
Well, they win 4-3. Here was that young and off the barrel guy with Susan after the game. First career game winner.
Oh, it was great. It was great, like I said before. I dream with this moment, like, this is my favorite golf, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, he enjoys it. Aaron Judge. Now, considering how good Jacob DeGrom was, DeGrom, seven innings pitched, two runs, three hits, nine strikeouts. When you factor that in, the fact that they won this game, that was pretty damn impressive.
That was a big time win for us. You know, just, he was making pitches all night. You know, really couldn't get anything going. You know, we got a couple knocks. Belly had a big homer. You know, to kind of battle it out, kind of fight all the way till the end, till the, you know, Dominguez homer. That was pretty special.
And so the Yankees now 29-19 on the season as they win another series. You've got the series finale, weather permitting, today. Carlos Rodon, Nathan Eovaldi. First pitch 12:35 on Sports Radio 660 AM. As for the Mets, this was interesting because you had Juan Soto stare at pitch after pitch after pitch and do nothing with the bat early. But thankfully, Brett Beatty did. He singled early to drive in the first run and then some insurance later in the game as the Mets beat the Red Sox.
Nobody out, the bases full. The pitch to Beatty. Swinging a fly ball, hit the opposite way, slicing towards the corner. It is down, a base hit, and it's up against the monster. One run scores. Here comes Taylor to the plate. He will score ahead of the throw. It's a two-run single for Brett Beatty, and the Mets have a 3-1 lead in the seventh inning.
And that was Pat McCarthy on Mets Odyssey Radio. He drives in three. Mets win 5-1.
By the way, Jerry, there were two reverse announcer jinx that happened last night in the favor of the Mets and the Knicks.
Okay.
One was campaign, where they said he has not hit a three-pointer since game one of the Pistons series. 2 seconds later, bang, three-pointer.
Yeah.
And then Gary Cohen right before this Beatty RBI double, which felt actually single because of the bad base running. He goes, the Mets have been searching for this hit for a very long time.
It's true.
And maybe this is it. And bang, it happened.
And there well, it was.
Eventually it's going to happen. And plus, you know, Lindor hits a home run last night. So,
they've also, and I'm sure when it happens that we will put that on social media too. Every time Pete Alonso comes up, they're like, he hit a home run in 57 plate appearances.
Not working.
At some point, he's going to hit a home run. And we'll have that. You also had, I'll get back to that in a minute, you also had in the Rays game.
You think about it, there really haven't been that many home runs to left in this ballpark this year, and will we see another? We sure do. Two-run homer off the scoreboard for Isak Paredes.
Into left field, and there you go. So I don't know if we call it a jinx. I don't know what we call it, but that was kind of neat. All right, back to the Mets, who win 5-1. Here was Beatty able to get the Mets on the scoreboard against Garrett Crochet early, because early in this game, Lindor doubled. The Mets did nothing with it. Juan Soto looking at strike three was part of that, and Alonso striking out. And then in the second inning, they had second and third, nobody out. And it looked like the Red Sox and Crochet might get out of that when Beatty had a big two-out hit to drive in a run.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a mountain of a man. He's got his arms and legs flying at you. He's kind of funky. And then on top of that, he throws 98. So I was just trying to get my foot down early and put a good swing on it.
It's actually funny he said that. I was watching the game with my wife. She said the same thing. She goes, look at this guy's windup. Very funky.
Yeah, I mean, he does. He looks like he's got more than two arms and two legs. I don't know how it's possible, but it is. Also, you know, you had Steve and Alex Cohen sitting courtside at the Knicks game again, and the team, you know, not playing well. Obviously, they're paying attention to what's going on. How do you think they get their updates? Do you think they watch on their phone or they're sitting there courtside? Think they say someone do they do the thing where no one tell us the score so we can go home and watch it? Like, if you're the owners of the team at the Knicks playoff game, sitting there courtside in the Eastern Conference Finals, how do you get the updates on how
they either had the SNY app and they're watching it on their phone, or they're following along
on
the
sitting courtside,
or they're following along the MLB app,
MLB alerts.
Yeah, that's probably
every
the way
time
to
a
do
run
it
is scored.
That's
they
probably
find
the
out.
I'm like, because you can't be sitting courtside looking at your phone like this. I hate when people are doing that. When the game's going on, you can see in the background the people are sitting on the floor looking at their phones. I'm like, you idiots.
But you know what you can do? You can have the alerts and you got your watch. Just look at your watch.
Yeah.
Oh, look, Beatty.
That is true.
We might win a game.
How about Larry David there last night?
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? Here was Carlos Mendoza. Nice score, a couple of runs.
We came through today, you know. Lindor with a homer. First one in a while. You know, this is very rare. But overall, good team win. And now we got to go home and play against a good team.
And that home run he mentioned was by Francisco Lindor. The Mets are 30-20. Go home to play that good team in the Dodgers, but that's tomorrow, not tonight, as they will start a weekend series.
Gary sounded upset that they weren't doing those games, too. He goes, here's the pitching matchup, so the games we're not going to broadcast.
Yeah, well.
I'm like, Gary, it's Memorial Day weekend. Have a good time.
You want Juan Soto? You make deals with these networks.
I was like, you've called 10 bazillion Met games in your life. Take a nice Memorial Day weekend off, will you?
Do you think he still goes to the games? Or
no.
A game?
I hope not. He's got to get away. Got to chill.
I don't know. Just wondering.
If he still shows up there, that's Evan Roberts-like, is it not?
Well, you know, it's nice to have a built-in vacation like that.
That is true.
It is. That's the side of having a good team, playing another good team. You're going to get a weekend off?
If you're the TV announcers.
Yes.
Not the radio guys.
That's true.
There's no built-in vacation for those guys. Colts owner Jim Irsay passed away. Did you know he was sick? I know he had his alcohol issues.
He's lived a very, very hard life, and not surprising at all.
65 years old. 49ers quarterback.
I think his oldest daughter is going to end up taking over and running the team. She was actually very much involved over the last 4 or 5 years, I believe, maybe if not longer. And I think they have a transition in place for that to happen.
Brock Purdy met the media yesterday. He's got the big monster $265 million contract now. Talks about his journey getting to where he is.
As a kid, obviously, you see all these guys on TV, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and you want to be that one day. And for me, what I've realized, it just doesn't happen overnight. Like, you got to go through good, bad, tough times, the hard workouts.
And if you will, you get rewarded. So good for him as he met the media. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Kay Adams on Up and Adams. This made the rounds yesterday. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but it is funny. You have talked about the guy that you have tricked with Wikipedia back in the day in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yes.
So I don't know that this is what happened to her. Probably not, but she did use Wikipedia for some information and got his name wrong.
I don't know who Patrick is, but...
Is that not your middle name?
Oh, Matthew Robert.
Why does it say Matthew Patrick on your Wikipedia? Are you joking?
When has Wikipedia been a source of credible information?
This is not the way to start this on the eve of the Tush Push.
I mean, you're certainly aware of this. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but what we did was a hell of a lot funnier than just changing a middle name.
Well, for
why
sure.
Why would she introduce it with his middle name anyway?
I don't know. I didn't see the beginning of it or why. Maybe that's something she does. I'm not really sure, but that made the rounds, as you can imagine. And he mentions the Tush Push there at the end. That stays. The vote was 22-10. They needed it to be 24-8. So that will not happen. I also saw they tweaked the onside kick a little bit to where you can declare it at other times
earlier
in the game.
Yeah, you can do it earlier.
And the Stars beat the Oilers 6-3 to take a 1-0 series lead in their series.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
The Boomer and Geo Podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A rough morning with the weather, with the Knicks. We're here for you, 888-808-1019. I am not down at all today. I, for whatever reason, I'm telling you, there's something to this sleep cycle thing. I thought it was a bunch of crap, but there's something to it because I got to sleep probably right around midnight.
and I forgot to set my alarm. Now, my alarm goes off at 3:25.
Yeah.
I roll over awake at 3:55. So I probably slept, you know, for straight through 3 hours, 55 minutes. Maybe a little longer if I got to sleep before midnight. I popped out of bed, and I feel great. But if my alarm had gone off a half hour earlier in the middle of that REM sleep, I'd feel like total crap today. I got to find a way. I know they have alarm clocks that do that, but this could be a game changer here.
For you, it could
be. It's a game changer. I've never slept that, like, small amount and felt as good.
Especially, you know, now that these games are starting at 8 o'clock.
I know. Oh, and going into overtime, no less.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. All right, 888-808-1019 to talk some Knicks this morning. Allen's in Manahawkin. What's going on, Allen?
How you doing, guys?
Good. What's up?
I'm very frustrated. Could you imagine Rick Pitino, Pat Riley, any of the great coaches allowing these guys with 2.5 minutes to go to come down the floor, put up shots, three-pointers within 20, 25 seconds to go?
Yeah, especially
on tips for this.
Yeah, well, I mean, Allen, these guys are going to do what they do out there in that situation. Tibbs has got it once he sees it. But by the way, hey, you know what? You know the players themselves need to take some responsibility because they got back into two games against Boston because Boston did exactly that against them.
That's my point. Exactly.
So, I mean, the players got to take some responsibility, too, no? I mean, my Lord, well, those veterans out there.
Well, Tibbs has to call a timeout and tell his guys, we're driving the basket. We're shooting the shot clock up, and we're driving the basket. We're not doing any more shooting.
And you want to know something, Allen, 100% fair criticism. 100% fair.
But the player's got to take responsibility,
right, I understand that. You have to this is the NBA. He's got a starting five and a bench group of guys that are all, think about this. These two teams are all veterans. They've all been down this road before. They all need to have the sense of awareness of what's going on. The same thing can be said about the Celtics, who won a championship last year.
Yeah.
They completely forgot exactly what got them there. And that is frustrating. And Tibbs has got to take responsibility, either call a timeout or give them the signal to slow it down, as opposed to hucking up shots with 10 seconds left on the shot clock. Because that is how you let the other team back in.
Yeah, I mean, when you're missing them. Yes. Now, I mean, they built up the big lead because they were hitting a lot of those shots. They were feeling it. They were trying to run them out of the building at that point, and they missed them. And then on the other side of that, it took everything possible to go right for the Pacers for this to happen. And the other side, Nesmith didn't miss. I mean, that's really... But
I mean, he was unconscious.
I guess I'm overprotective. After the last two series and the way that they came out and played last night and looked like they matched up well and knew what they were doing until they blew it, I've become more overprotective of Tibbs now. Like, I was like, man, this is going to come down on him and watch out. Eric Spoelstra might be the coach, stuff like that. But now I'm like, it's not his fault. I mean, these guys play their ass off for him. He puts them in good situations. The one criticism that I would have, it was a big one, is some of this inbound stuff that we've been seeing the entire year. Got to clean that crap up. That's stuff you work on in practice. You know, that's where you get the whiteboard out and you be the coach and you talk about responsibility landing at the coach's feet. Because that is some ugly-ass basketball, man.
That is just unforced. Well, it's not unforced because the other team is playing against you. But, you know, you very rarely see things like that happen, especially in crunch time. I mean, you know, you gotta have plays to get the ball in.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like they've got any direction.
And by the way, you know, we talked about the Pacers, the way that they were going to play on defense, even though they did give up 135 points. You know, when you play full court defense, you're extending everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lanes to be exploited. And that's one thing the Knicks did do last night. They exploited it. And you could see how hard Brunson has to work on offense, which I think also leads to a little bit of, you know, not so much hard work on defense.
Yeah, which is sort of his calling card, but he's so great in crunch time, you allow it to happen. He also, by the way, had the five fouls.
Yes.
And he was letting guys blow past him because he didn't want to foul out of the game. Anthony in Bridgewater, what's going on, Anthony?
Hey, guys, thanks for my call. What a debacle last night. My God, I know you didn't sleep, G. What a tough night. My God. Here's a couple things. First off, end of game. you mentioned about the inbounds and stuff. The amount of times the teams switch at the end of the game now, I think, makes it difficult to do plays and stuff. But you got to, like, screen or something. Like, half the time, they're not, like, even screened. There's, like, all open up to the ball. No one, like, gets the ball. It's, like, it's so awkward why, like, no NBA team can run anything on a sideline or out of bounds at the end of the game. It drives me crazy. Like, they just, like, run to the ball like a recreation, like a camp. It's crazy.
Yeah,
no one screens anyone.
Anthony, you're right. I mean, it's almost like, all right, if Brunson is inbounding the ball, he gets the ball to somebody, and then the guy tries to get his ball right back into Brunson's hands really quickly. Like, that's really the whole plan. And if it's not, and someone else is inbounding the ball, they try to get the ball to Brunson, and if they don't, they quickly get to somebody else, and they try to get it to Brunson really quick, and it's just like the helter-skelter, no-plan situation.
And they're going to send two at Brunson to trap him. Like, we've seen that last year, too. It's the same concept. But the other thing is that I wanted to point out real quick is the end of the game, I mean, you guys pointed out well. I mean, whatever the Pacers had to do to win the game, they had to do that every second and every to win the shots and everything. But I just thought the Knicks management at the end of the game was terrible. I mean, of course, the Knicks looked like the Celtics, you know, jacking up threes. The ball needs to be in Brunson's hands the last few minutes of the game and just run, like, some pick and rolls and get to the basket and, like, kill some clock. I mean, Brunson's taking some long-range threes, Towns. Like, why do teams have to shoot threes up 20 at the end of games on the NBA? I just don't understand.
Yeah, neither do I, Anthony. The only, and this is me playing devil's advocate. I'm not saying that this is... I just think when these teams, they shoot so many threes and they get in this rhythm and then they start feeling it and then they're at home and they're up a ton. They're like, if I miss, it's not really a big deal. We're up a ton. And then, man, if I hit this, this place is going to go crazy. And they just start, like, losing their minds and the awareness of the clock. And that's where, like, Brunson being on the floor, that shouldn't happen. You know, he's the guy that's got to settle that down. But I just think they just get in this rhythm of, like, especially because they've been playing that way the entire game, up and down and up and down and up and down. And it's sort of just like they just didn't adjust their offensive game plan when they needed to open the door to the Pacers.
Which is amazing to me because you have a roster full of talented veteran players that, you know, sometimes I guess you lose yourself within the game, as you were just talking about. And you're not aware of where the time is. When Boston was doing that in game one and two, and I'm like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
So now I'm sitting here saying the same thing about the Knicks. What are you doing?
Well, Boston did it in back-to-back games. I have to be confident in the fact that the Knicks are not going to do that again if they have a big lead. Like, the fact that the Celtics did the same thing in game one and two with that, the Knicks better not be doing that again. They've seen three games now where that strategy has not worked. So don't do it again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.